This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with us right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. I can call him the most patient man in the world. He's with us this morning as we talk to you about certain strategies that will help you. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And that can cover it either way. So glad
That's
you're
right.
with us. Tell us about Ripple Connects and how we can connect with you.
RippleConnects.com, where we turn candidates into contenders. And what I mean by that is, Freddie, we help people reinvent, recalibrate, retool their careers through very specific methods to make sure that they are in a position for growth and overall career satisfaction. And we do that through a number of ways, through our coaching, interview coaching, network coaching, as well as self-marketing yourselves in today's world.
All right. And is there a plain old telephone number that you can share with our audience this morning?
There certainly is, and that is 763-438-1621.
You know, a lot of people don't use a telephone, but I like the POTS line. That's what we call the plain old telephone system. It really works for that one-to-one connection. And speaking of that, the pandemic has really changed our job search strategy within our network. And as we look at this, what do you see as one of the major changes with regard to strategy as we've dealt with this pandemic for more than a year and a half or so right now, Joe McKenzie?
Absolutely. And I bring this up because, I see a lot of people struggling with this. A year and a half ago, if I was looking for a new job, I would have sat down with someone like a Freddie Bell and talked to you about what I wanted to do next, maybe pass my resume over or some examples of what I've been working on, maybe pick your brain a little bit on who we should connect with. Well, guess what? We're not doing that as much anymore, and for very good reason. There's a pandemic, so going out to meet in person at a restaurant or coffee may be far and few between. So I want to address this today because networking, engaging with your bench of advocates, those people that you know and trust, that is still an ideal way to move the needle in your job search. But we can't, just because we can't meet in person like we normally did, we do need to adapt our strategies to make sure that we're still utilizing our bench of advocates and our overall network to make sure we're unearthing new opportunities in both the advertised job market and that the hidden job market. And the hidden job market, simply, Freddie, is those jobs that are not advertised that we're not looking for. And that's why they're hidden to us. Mm-hmm. Unless we engage with our network, we will not find a lot of these hidden opportunities. So, yes, let's talk about adapting some simple strategies today to maintain a good networking component to your job search.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this morning on New Beginnings, and we're talking about how the pandemic has changed our job search strategy within our network. As we were coming on the air this morning, we were talking about, we were kind of kidding around about the plain old telephone system. Is that back into play again right now with everyone I'm hearing talking about being Zoomed out or GoToMeeting out? Is that back in play with connecting with our bench of advocates and those who really care about our job and our careers?
Well, I think it's always going to be an option for us, especially if we're not going to meet in person. To hear someone's voice one-on-one allows us to communicate. Zoom may not always be an ideal for, that type of method, but I do think a phone call from somebody to someone still has good value in regards to networking during the pandemic because we can communicate. I've always said networking is just a very organic, granular conversation leading towards something bigger and beyond, as well as the reciprocal nature of it. Freddie, we've talked back and forth for 7 years now, and I look forward to your calls, and I hope that I bring value when we have phone conversations. It may not always every call, but I hope we see ourselves as, good trusted partners, and that's through the phone. Do you find that to be the case as well?
Absolutely. It seems as if the more you connect, and then all of a sudden you've got a relationship, sometimes friendship, sometimes business relationship, sometimes both, that really can play deeply into a career mindset if you ever need that opportunity or if you find yourself between jobs or you're trying to ratchet up your career, having those relationships in place, I've learned from Joe McKenzie, certainly is a good resource for you when you're trying to make those kinds of moves.
I agree. The fact is that if, you know, use our case, we keep each other current on what we're working on. And if through that relationship, we keep each other current, we may be able to have earlier success or more meaningful success because you kind of know where I'm at or vice versa or what we're looking for. And that's that ongoing relationship built over the phone. Fred, because of the pandemic, I don't think we've seen each other since, what, January, February of 2020? You know, we were able to record, you know, virtually to stay safe. But that hasn't stopped us from meeting with the New Beginnings listeners each week. But those limitations are out there because of the pandemic. But that hasn't stopped building that relationship, right?
That's right. So how do you build on the relationship when you can't see each other? Maybe you're not even using Zoom, the telephone call. What would be some other strategies that you would suggest to our listeners today?
Well, on top of the phone call, I think LinkedIn is a great way to keep your advocates and your overall professional network current with what you're doing, what you're working on, some of the projects, some of the initiatives, some of the accomplishments or awards. And plus, LinkedIn has a great messaging tool. Your whole network's at your fingertips because every LinkedIn account is connected, interlinked with a messaging unit. So you don't have to look for someone's business card or phone number. You may be able to use LinkedIn messaging just to set up that phone call, Zoom, or in-person meeting if that's what you want. But I do think LinkedIn is a great way, it's a platform to showcase some of your skills, some of your volunteer work, some of your written pieces, almost the proof by example, Freddie. And that goes a long way for others to stay current with you. And that's what I would say, work with that, but use that messaging app to stay current and maybe set that up for those relationship building phone calls.
So do you think that a person needs to buy the premium version of LinkedIn in order to stay connected with their bench of advocates and those who could support their career growth?
I think for the basic connecting with someone that you already know, the basic options there. But if you wanted to make sure that you could connect with people that you're not connected to or recruiters or people within companies, then you may want to look at other options on that platform. But the basic will always allow you to communicate with the people that you're already connected to through that messenger app.
What about self-marketing? I know that you have a wonderful tool that you've used and shared. How does self-marketing change or does it change in a pandemic?
Well, I think 2 years ago, I would have probably provided you with a folder of some of the examples of why I wanted to go somewhere. And I think that played out with a lot of different meetings that were taking place in the past, you know, several years. But now it's changed. Now you might have to use LinkedIn as your platform to showcase some of those. You might have to virtually share that with them. But really, it's those providing those proof by examples. You may have had a written piece that you want to share with one of your advocates or your network as an example of your writing skills, communication skills. You're going to have to be more creative to engage your network as well as your bench of advocates. So really think critically on how you're going to best communicate with your audience, which is your greater professional network and your advocates on this, Freddie.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about how the pandemic has changed our job search strategy within our network. And with having less in-person meetings, talk about how that upsets the network dynamics, Joe McKenzie.
It can upset it if you let it upset it. And what I mean by that is if you were meeting with someone for coffee, say 2 years ago, and now you don't have that the ability to use social media messaging or Zoom or phone call, you may have to adapt that professional network relationship to something that's more regular or at least, you know, a couple times more a year. Because if we're not meeting in person, you certainly don't want to let some of those connections go cold. Yeah, you certainly want to fight against those connections going cold, Freddie, phone call or Zoom call. Be sure to not let those relationships go cold, especially if you're in the middle of a job search.
All right. That's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects, and you do some fine work at your organization.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
A point at listening every weekend at this time. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. That's Joe McKenzie, and this is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious.
The word courage comes from the Latin root word for heart. That's today's Point of Focus, having a courageous heart. You can be courageous when you boldly break through fear, refusing to be stymied by it for more than a moment. We all have all the right stuff to make whatever changes or decisions are necessary. You have the courage to climb any mountain, however insurmountable it may appear. Don't be dismayed by life setbacks or derailed by doubt. Simply rely on the tools that you have to steady your mind and fuel that courageous heart of yours. Right now, step out with daring and take clear action. Be a courageous conqueror, and victory is already yours. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you and welcome to New Beginnings. This is your listening post that helps you to make informed decisions about everything from your finances to health. And earlier this week, the FDA gave full approval for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Public health officials are now encouraging people across the country to get the shot. Anthony Fauci, the chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden, explains what the FDA approval means.
What this is really the real final imprimatur and the stamp of approval. The FDA, as is their job to do, and they did it well, has meticulously gone over every single bit of data from the standpoint of the effectiveness of the vaccine, the safety of the vaccine, and also things that the public doesn't appreciate, namely the inspection of the facilities that manufacture the vaccine to make sure that there's consistency in the production of it. So I believe people now, understandably, who have felt, well, this was under an emergency use authorization, does that mean it doesn't really have the full approval? Well, even under the EUA, the experience that we've had with the efficacy and the safety should make people feel that that was a very, very good stamp of approval based purely on the data that we were getting. But now that it's official, and what that's going to mean, I believe, Judy, is that there are probably maybe 20 up to 30% of people who in good faith felt that they really wanted that ultimate approval before they felt comfortable in getting the vaccine. And we have about, you know, a little bit less than 90 million people who are eligible to be vaccinated who have not yet gotten vaccinated. I hope that this is going to get those 20 to 30% or so of people to wind up deciding that now they feel comfortable with getting vaccinated. In addition, it's going to allow people who feel they want a mandate. I mean, they could be schools, universities, colleges, places of business who are reluctant to make vaccination a requirement for attendance or employment or what have you, who will feel much more comfortable now doing that, that you have an official stamp of approval from the FDA. So in two areas, I think it's going to really impact the number of people who get vaccinated.
People are curious, doctor, as to why this approval took so long.
It took so long, and I wouldn't say so long, because I don't think it was so long. It took a period of time which allowed the FDA to do their job, which they do so well. They are the gold standard of regulatory agencies throughout the world. In fact, there are some people who are saying, well, they did it too quickly. It usually takes years sometimes before you get a full approval. They did it now because they had a voluminous amount of data. They worked double time fast. They just did not cut any corners. They examined every bit of it, and they did it well. And I think that's the reason why when the FDA approves a product, an intervention, you can feel comfortable that it's safe and it's effective.
What does the approval mean for 12 to 15-year-olds, and how are they impacted?
Well, I mean, mandates will be very difficult, I believe, in some situations when you don't have the full approval. But they looked at the data that was presented by the company, and the data were for 16 and older. The 12 to 15 can still get the vaccine through the EUA, which is the way they were getting it all along. But that is the point. Sometimes entities, organizations, schools are hesitant to mandate because it doesn't have the full approval. But I believe that you may get an indirect effect. I understand what Peter is saying. He's a good friend and a really highly competent person. I understand what he's saying. But my feeling is the very fact that you have a full approval of a BLA for 16 and older, that would even indirectly give some backing for mandates for anybody who is approved either through an EUA or through the BLA.
Dr. Fauci, when do you expect full approval will come for those under 12 years old?
Well, let's start with the children who are younger than 12. So what you have is we are already doing together with the companies what's called an age de-escalation and dose adjustment for younger children. And you do it from 11 to 9, from 9 to 6, from 6 to 2, and then from 6 months to 2 years. The data have already been very actively collected. We will probably have enough data by the time we get to the early to mid fall, and then they will be presented to the FDA. Then it becomes a regulatory decision, Judy, where you balance safety for children against the efficacy and the immunogenicity and all the other factors that go into it. And the data will be there by the middle of the fall. The FDA will have to do what they do well, will have to make a risk-benefit analysis of whatever safety signals, which are good safety, depending upon what it means for the benefit of the children.
And what about the full approval for those who are 12 to 15 years old?
Well, you know, that likely is going to happen. I mean, I don't ever want to get ahead of the FDA. They will look at and examine the risk-benefit ratio, because you know there's a very rare risk in some of the vaccines of an adverse event. So what they're going to figure out, if you look at the benefit in those children of that age compared to the risk, which is very, very small, but you want to do a balance. They haven't done that yet because they're still examining the safety data. When they get the safety data, they will then make the same determination that they made with 16 and older.
Last question this morning. When do you expect full approval for the Johnson & Johnson and the Moderna vaccines?
Well, I don't think people should interpret by any means that there's any difference in safety or efficacy with that because Pfizer came first. Pfizer presented their data in a very timely way to the FDA. Moderna is a bit behind in the presentation of their data to the FDA. That doesn't mean the data is any less effective or less safe. It's just that's the timing of when they present it. So as soon as they get their data presented in a way that the FDA can look at it the same meticulous way, you're going to see very likely the same thing. They've already accepted some of the data from Moderna and from J&J. They don't have the full package yet. And when they do, they may have the full package and they're still examining it. But the timing was a little bit different. So people need to understand it's a timing issue, not an efficacy or a safety issue.
Dr. Fauci, thanks for joining us this morning talking about the FDA approval for the Pfizer vaccine.
Always good to be with you.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Elizabeth Evo, Vaccine Outreach Director for Minnesota's Vaccine Response Team, says there are still precautions we should take even if you're vaccinated.
Even if you've been fully vaccinated, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often.
This message from KMOJ and the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and let's talk this weekend about how to trace IRS child tax credits, talking money this weekend on New Beginnings. The second round of advanced child tax credit payments hit millions of bank accounts last weekend. But the question is, what should you do if you didn't get your money? That could be a concern. Or what can you do if you've been waiting more than a month and didn't even get the first payment for July? It's tricky because, well, so much depends on a wide range of quite specific individual factors, that according to Susan Tompor. She's a personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press. She says many times there are not one-size-fits-all answers, and you're not going to be able to get a quick response by calling the Internal Revenue Service, she says, which has notorious delays on its phone lines at 800-829-1040. But also is still dealing with a backlog of tax refunds for 2020 returns, an adjustment that applies to early filers who were unemployed in 2020 and other issues as well as the child tax credit. We're talking about how to trace IRS child tax credits. Here's a look at a possible option that she offers and things to know about the advance child tax credit payments. First of all, the question is, how do I trace a missing child tax credit? Well, the IRS has a timeline, she says, for when you can even begin to track missing payments. She says if you've been waiting since July 15th, for example, for a payment, you might be able to put a trace on it right now. You do have to wait a bit, she says, if you're anxious about an August payment, which just began rolling out by direct deposit on August 13th. For example, the IRS hill you've waited 5 days since the deposit date, and the bank says it has not received the payment, or 4 weeks since the payment was mailed by check to a standard address, and 6 weeks since the payment was mailed and you have a forwarding address on file with the local post office. That's why you need a financial advisor to help in some of these cases. So I'll mention that again. For example, the IRS says you cannot trace the money until you've waited 5 days and also or 4 weeks since the payment was mailed by a check to a standard address and 6 weeks since the payment was mailed and you have a forwarding address on file with the local post office. The question is the IRS sending out some July payments right now? The answer is yes, so you might want to read up on this one day before trying to track missing money. It's important for you to do your own research, she says. The IRS noted on August 13th that some families could be getting their first advance payments in August if they didn't get a July payment. Now, many families don't need to do anything to get this money. The IRS is basing monthly payments on the most recently processed tax returns, either the 2019 federal return or the 2020 return. The IRS also says that the August payments reflect information on tax returns that have been processed by August 2nd, including people who don't typically file a return but during 2020 successfully registered for Economic Impact Payments, the EIP, using the IRS non-filers tool on irs.gov. And finally, there's also a child tax credit update portal. You can find it at irs.gov. It could help you to figure out if you're enrolled to receive payments, put a stop to receiving any more advanced monthly payments in 2021, and also provide or update your bank account information for you this weekend on how to trace IRS child tax credits. We go from child tax credits to mortgage refinancing. There's a survey out there that says that many American homeowners are passing up a prime opportunity to lower their interest rates and to cut their monthly payments by refinancing their loans, that according to a new Bankrate survey. And while the savviest homeowners already refinanced, and some have even done so twice, millions more have yet to take advantage of mortgage rates that once would have seemed unthinkably low. Among homeowners with a mortgage they've had since before the pandemic, 74% have not. The overwhelming majority of mortgage borrowers, a huge majority of mortgage borrowers, have not yet refinanced despite record low rates over the past year. That according to Greg McBride, he is a CFA, Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst. He says cutting the monthly mortgage payment by $150 or $250, possibly more, can create valuable breathing room in the household budget at a time when so many other costs are on the rise. He goes on to say that among homeowners who haven't refinanced, the most cited reason was that they would not have saved enough money to warrant a refi. That choice was named by 32% of respondents. He says you may want to rethink that, according to McBride. Today's rates are at levels unseen prior to last year. To illustrate one example, stay with me because the numbers get a little tricky. Here's one example. If you have a 30-year loan for $300,000 per se at 4%, your monthly payment is about $1,432. Refinancing to 3% would cut it back to $1,265, or a savings of $167 a month, or $2,004 a year. That could be significant. Closing costs and fees are the second most frequently cited objection. Fully 27% of respondents to the survey cited that as an obstacle. It's true, according to Mr. McBride, that closing costs can cost you thousands of dollars, typically 3-5% of the amount of the loan. However, he says if you can cut your rate significantly, you'll recoup those closing costs. Another common objection is that refinancing requires too much paperwork, a hurdle cited by 23% of those who have yet to refinance. Some 14% of those who have not yet refinanced say they plan to move or pay off the loan soon. That's a valid reason not to refinance because it can take years to pay off closing costs. So refinancing is best for homeowners who plan to keep their new mortgages for years. McBride goes on to say that 12% said their credit scores were too low to refinance. That could be another credible reason not to do so, but most mortgage borrowers in 2021 have higher credit scores. On-time mortgage payments are one of the best ways to boost your credit score, so make sure you're paying your loan promptly. You're listening to New Beginnings. We've talked to you this weekend about how to trace your IRS child tax credits and also how to take advantage of lower interest rates on your mortgage. Our program continues right now, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. We're back with New Beginnings, and joining us now is Kitty Harris. She is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Kitty Harris and New Beginnings has had a long relationship, and we really value it. And we value you, Kitty. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I know that you're really excited about what you're going to share with us this morning about getting the community involved in helping each other. That's how I see it. You've got a big blood drive underway. Tell us, from your perspective, how a blood drive really helps our communities.
So the blood drive serves multiple purposes. It has the blood on hand for the critical need when patients are needing transfusions during the surgeries that we might have. And we know we have lots of issues with violence, unfortunately, that goes on in our community where blood might be needed. But also for the African-American community, when you have African-American donors, our blood can be used to help treat patients who are suffering from sickle cell anemia. And so it's very important to be able to have that type of blood on hand to provide that treatment for those patients. And now with the COVID-19 virus, they have found that people who have had COVID and recovered have antibodies in their blood that can also help patients. And so there's now another purpose that our blood is serving. So everybody that gives blood, their blood is tested for the presence of COVID-19 viral loads. And they will let you know if you had a past exposure, if you have the antibodies, and those can be used for life-saving measures as well.
The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center was there. You were among the leaders in setting up testing and getting the vaccines into the arms of people in our community.
Yes, we definitely were excited to be able to provide that COVID-19 vaccine and now again be able to provide these blood drives to continue to have this, and along with our other partnership with our on-site partner, the Lau Center, to do breast cancer on a monthly basis. And so, again, we're just trying to make sure that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center stays at the forefront of these needed services that are in the community and providing opportunities, whether it be for screening, vaccines, or donations. All three of these mechanisms give us an opportunity to provide for our community.
Was this a part of the vision, if you remember, of Cora McCorvey when the Wellness Center was first stood up?
Absolutely. One of her visions for the center was so that we were a healthy hub for the community, and we were a resource for the community where people could come and know that this is a place that I can not only give, but receive and share. And so I think we definitely make sure to maintain that and have that at the forefront of everything we do and everybody that we partner with.
All right. Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And how can our audience reach you if they are looking for more information about the blood drive or anything else at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center?
For the blood drive, they can go to redcrossblood.org and enter in the sponsor code MPHA, and you can just sign up right there. Again, appointments are for all. And everybody that comes in and donates during the month of August gets an opportunity to get a free Apple Music subscription, because the Red Cross is always trying to incentivize people to participate. So again, redcrossblood.org. Sponsor code is MPHA. If you don't have access to a computer, you can give me a call at 612-344-2221, and I can register you directly as well.
All right. Kitty, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
We're having a wonderful discussion this weekend with you on New Beginnings, and you can always reach me online at www.freddiebell.com, by telephone at 888-639-9738. You can find me on Twitter at Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L. I'd love to talk with you. Let's talk a little bit further about money. We've talked about child tax credits. We've talked about the IRS. We've talked about refinancing your home. Let's talk more specifically about gold and silver and even tin. We consulted with Andy Holm, who is a London-based columnist for Reuters News Service, and he says tin continues to be the unexpected star performer of industrial metals this year. He says while the broader metal recovery rally shows signs of flagging, tin keeps punching out fresh all-time highs on both the London and Shanghai markets. Whoever thought we'd be talking about tin as an investment? He says three-month tin contracts last week touched $35,955 per ton on the London Metal Exchange, eclipsing the previous record of just over $33,000 dating from 2011. Currently trading around $35,000 per ton, tin is up 68% since the start of the year. Aluminum is trailing a distant second with year-to-date gains of only 27%. Yes, we're talking about tin in the midst of gold and silver. Tin is now in demand destruction territory, with the onus on the relatively small number of major producers to generate a supply response. Physical tin users in the United States, which finds itself at the wrong end of a freight-disrupted supply chain, are paying $4,000 per ton on top of the LME price if they can't find anyone with anything to sell, which is a big if. Just think about the lumber market. Fast Markets has lifted its U.S. Midwest delivery premium assessments to a record high of between $3,600 to $4,400 over the cash price. Tin inventories registered with the Shanghai Futures Exchange, meanwhile, have slumped to their lowest level since 2016, when the tin contract was still in its infancy. China exported 8,450 tons of refined tin in the first half of this year. That's up 2,100 tons in the first 6 months of 2020. The country has swung from net importer last year to net exporter to the tune of 5,800 tons this year. We're talking about tin possibly making an impact in your portfolio. So with the tonnage up, That appears to have removed any slack in China's domestic market just at the time that the country's largest producer, Yinan Tin, took down one of his smelters for 45 days of maintenance, and others in the same province reduced output due to power constraints. The rest of the world is also looking for increased supply from Indonesia, the world's largest exporter, and Malaysia. However, Indonesian exports this year are flat, and Malaysian producer MSC has been hit by a combination of equipment problems and COVID-19 controls. Finally, the world's largest producers, and there are only a handful of them in the small tin market, are clearly struggling to respond to the stimulus of higher prices. Until they do, it's hard to see how the tin supply chain is going to normalize. If you're looking at tin, talk to your financial advisor. He may have some eye-opening news for you when you consider making investments. I'm Freddie Bell. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Again, let me quote that opening of the 133rd Psalm. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let's be clear about what we hear in those ancient words. We know that as individuals, we don't hold the same thoughts, nor do we live identical lives, nor do we make those same daily choices as others do. We have the power to choose for ourselves. However, we can choose to hold an intention for our common good and choose to participate in a shared experience. I've always marveled and tried to detect exactly who here in past years wrote some of the affirmations we so consistently hold in our services. And I particularly like that every week we affirm that statement that we boldly serve humanity by, listen, building our lives and Unity South, which is a community, together. So we affirm every week that we're doing our work individually and we are participating together in a communal work. How important that balance is. And if you leave today with no memory of anything Reverend Stacy said, I don't even want to remember it. No. If you leave with nothing else, let it be this idea of how life-giving, how sustaining it is for you and your world to maintain this balance of individual focus, your life, and community focus of what am I a part of? And of course, in a general sense, what you are a part of can be everything from your family to your neighborhood to your workplace, your place of education. We're involved in many communities, that is for sure. Ultimately, we are part of one global humanity. And do you spend time with that idea? I am part of one global human family. Or do you tend to live in the thought, I'm a Minnesotan, I'm an American, and then there are those other people? How much time do you spend just holding that idea that I am a part of a global human family? And then consider what comes up in your thought. Well, I'm certainly not like those people who live in that particular country. They're very odd. I don't like how they behave. I don't like what they do. We all have those thoughts from time to time. Sometimes they're the same thoughts we hold about members of our own family or the people to whom we are married. But this is the wonder and the vision of how God created us, both as individuals and as part, as members of a larger organism, a greater world. And so, I believe our spiritual practice, without being overly religious, our inner practice, is to maintain a balance between that individual experience, our individual hopes and dreams and desires and goals, and what we share with the larger community and world as goals. I really believe that God so permeated creation with wisdom and necessary balance or equilibrium that at times we get into a difficult situation like the world pandemic, and you can have your own opinions about the pandemic, what it is, how it came about. Is it real? Is it made up? We can put those all aside and hold this idea. Perhaps the world pandemic, true or false, is calling our attention to how we are present, how we are connected with the world family. Just think, for example, the luxury that we share in this country to have such an abundance of vaccine. Whether you choose it or not, for those who choose the vaccine, we have a wealth of it. Now, what does this mean? Thinking of our greater family, how can we share it? How can we help others? Well, the idea might come up, let them help themselves. Let them take care of themselves. Well, and that is a good American idea of self-determination. And we don't have to totally get rid of that. But we can say, those of us that are privileged in a particular way, how can we help the greater human family? Something came to my attention this week, sort of accidentally. I wasn't looking for it. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes when you aren't looking for something, it just pops up. The book literally jumps off the shelf and flops open to an idea that is exactly what you needed to hear at the moment. Well, I was watching the CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries, Reverend Shad Groverland, a dynamic, young, new leader of our Association of Unity Centers. And he was speaking in Kansas City last week and said he had just received a request from Nigeria saying, we caught the unity idea. We want to be a part of it. We want to join with you. But here's our situation. And they sent photographs of their flooded communities and wading through waist-deep water. They said, we want to learn and understand the unity idea. Can you send us literature, books? Can you invite us into the unity teaching and community worldwide? We want to support it. We want to be a part of it. They were so filled with a passionate desire. And in the continent of Africa, Nigeria actually has the greatest number of unity centers, about 57 at present count. And you know how they got started? I have to take a little historical side trip, you know me. They got started because back in the 1920s, when Unity operated its own radio station, WOQ, Mr. Fillmore would speak on the radio after midnight, and people would get so excited they would form a little study group.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.